I'm talking with Anna Juanis, director of Wrestling Ghosts and creator of the podcast Healing Our Ghosts. In your podcast, which shines light into the suffering we keep hidden, you interview people about their struggles, surviving and thriving. Some of your interviews talked with you about how they found healing after dealing with loss. COVID-19 has left us with a lot of loss and trauma. Are there words of wisdom that you've learned from some of your guests, from some of your conversations that might help listeners heal after this difficult year?
I don't know. I think, you know, the experience of COVID has been so different for so many different people. You know, I think a lot of people in my small community of folks who are not dramatically financially impacted, who are not losing jobs and losing home, I hear a lot about a silver lining of slowing down, of not being able to just keeping ourselves busy to avoid dealing with what's really going on. And like a lot of crisis in life, whether they're personal crisis, you know, health, divorce, depression, it does open up the possibility of identifying our priority, refocusing on our priority, making decisions or changes in our lives to reflect, you know, these priorities. And so I'm hearing that people are doing that. And I think that's one of the benefit. But clearly, there's a huge rise in depression, suicide, even among very young people, right? Like, kids are out of school, they've lost their safety net. You know, they're the major victim of this. They're making huge sacrifice for the survival of the adults, because they're not dying in huge numbers. But they have to sacrifice everything that's necessary for healthy development in order for adults to survive. So it's a complicated situation, and especially considering the economic toll and some of the long, like if you've had COVID and you have some of the long-term effect, I really don't know what the answer to your question is. I think that in general, we understand now what stress does to the body. And especially in childhood, chronic stress can cause mayhem on your nervous system. And these changes are so deep that they literally transform your brain. And these changes, though, are not permanent, and the brain continues to be changeable, to be flexible. And we're also learning more and more about how you can heal your nervous system, or how you can become more resilient to stress. So as an adult, again, this is not for the children. This is a different situation for children who are, you know, completely vulnerable to the stress around them. But as adult, we can learn how to handle stress and be more resilient and be less impacted by stress. And I know you were going to ask about that, but on my website, I have something called the Healing Program, but it's also a PDF that can be used at home or in a classroom. And it explains a lot the way chronic stress or childhood trauma impact your body, in your brain and your immune system, and really so that you can really deeply understand why you are stuck, or why you felt stuck most of your life, why the things that don't feel right are so difficult to change. It really, really explains in a deep level why some of us can feel like we're in a straitjacket, right? But it also offers a lot of information about the different healing modalities that are out there that have been heavily researched, and how they can help us heal from childhood trauma, past trauma, but also make us more resilient in, you know, the everyday life, everyday stress, because it's almost impossible not to have stress. And some of those are, you know, focusing on rest, focusing, you know, creating a routine of meditation, of exercise, how you eat, therapy, of course. And I think that the main message of all of my guests and of, you know, most of the experts out there is that, you know, kind of that the first line of defense is self-love. It's self-compassion, which is very counterintuitive, because we have learned in our culture that being tough on ourselves is how we move forward. You know, how are you do anything ever if you're not just kind of, you know, oh, come on, Sina, get stuff done. You know, like don't be lazy. Get more. Are you productive enough? You know, why aren't you exercising? You know, look at your thighs, you know, right? Like, if I'm hard enough on myself, I'll get stuff done. I'll change. I'll be productive. And many of us do push through out of guilt and negative self-talk. But the studies are out there that when you do it out of self-love, self-compassion, you know, kind of like, you know, if you can imagine the sweetest voice you would have for a dear friend or for a child, you know, kind of that voice that says, sweetie, what do you need? You know, and if the response to that, you know, leads you to action, then that's the best way to do any of these things. So I think, you know, for us in 2021 to have a practice of self-love and self-compassion, I would say this, if you're going to choose one thing, that's the one.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I do want to go back though to the curriculum and kind of hone on that a little bit more. The curriculum, you mentioned that it's very much of a self-reflection, but it's also a teaching curriculum to teach people who work in medical situations or therapy situations, which has not been taught to a certain extent. So could you talk why that's important? A little bit more about what you did there.
Right. Well, so I, you know, I have a lot. My documentary is an hour and a half, and it's a very intimate portrait of one family, and especially one mom that wants to improve her relationship, her connection, her joy with her children. And it's her process of peeling layers after layers of why she's not the mom she wants to do, why she's not the person she wants to be in her life. And, you know, it leads her to understanding childhood trauma and to going on the journey of healing. It's a process that, it's a documentary that really has you reflect a lot on your own life and provides a kind of a path and inspiration to start your own healing process. My documentary is being used in a lot of different settings. It's being used with college classes in, you know, anthropology, psych, social studies, school nursing, education, women's studies. I mean, the application of this knowledge, the impact of childhood trauma and healing is applicable to a lot of different studies. It's also being used for training in a lot of institutions, not-for-profit, child welfare agencies, in the court system, criminal justice, not-for-profits that, I mean, just a range of not-for-profits, conferences are using it. So because of that, I created a simple curriculum. It's a, you know, five-hour lesson plan, mostly for colleges. It could be for high school, but it's more like a college-level plan. Discussion questions, because when you start talking about childhood trauma and healing, so much comes to mind, you know, from the impact of policies on the family and on individual, the lack of healthcare to access these resources, racism, patriarchy, like how does that impact, you know, adversity, trauma, and access to healing? So the discussion questions are very broad and really quite interesting. And then there is this healing program, which is, again, it's not quite a program, but it's in-depth information about what we know. It's actually not an in-depth. It's much more in-depth than it's a nice kind of summarized, curated summary of the research on childhood trauma and its impact on the body, and then the overlook of the different modalities. So it's a great opportunity for people to just get an overview, and then they can go and learn more. There's great books about it and podcasts, and certainly the deeper you get, the better. But it's a great overview and just really gets your foot in the door to understand it.
Healing is a social justice issue. And of course, this past year, or maybe past 4 years, there's been a lot more than COVID that has been traumatizing and leaving us with probably generations of healing that needs to be done. How do we need to work on collective healing in the next years?
So, I mean, there's many layers to this question. I'll start with the approach that I took with my movie. So my movie does not at all even mention the social justice aspect of trauma and of healing, which I think is incredibly central. And yet I chose not to address it. And the reason I don't address it in my movie is that I deeply believe that in order to shift from a culture of blame and punishment to a culture of care and compassion and The word is escaping me, but when you develop compassion for yourself, when you watch this documentary and you explore how trauma affected yourself, and a lot of people think of trauma in this very dramatic way, but trauma is not necessarily dramatic. And most of us have experienced trauma in our childhood, chronic stress, and it has impacted us, and we tend to be very hard on ourselves. When we start developing compassion for ourselves, we develop that muscle is the same for others. And so as we develop compassion for ourselves, we develop compassion for others, and it changes our interaction, and it changes the way we even pursue justice, pursue changes, because we think, well, let me understand, right? Like, before I can judge, before I can move to action, I got to understand what's happening, understand that person and their perspective. Then the second aspect is that when we understand, really deeply understand the impact of trauma, then we think twice before we traumatize others, right? As a communal body. I'm not talking about like when you are traumatizing somebody in your life, right? Your child, your partner, your community, you're probably not in control, right? You're doing your best and your best is not good enough. But when as a country we pass policies that separate children from their parents and incarcerate them, and every doctor explains that we are literally traumatizing these children, and that this is a medical, it's not a psychological term. We are medically damaging these children, and that the impact of that will be very long term. And we're not just talking about psychological impact, not to undermine depression, anxiety, suicidality. I mean, these are major illnesses. But medical, other kind of medical costs too, in terms of cancer, stroke, heart, risk of cardiovascular diseases. I mean, we're talking about an incredibly long-term impact on these children, and just suffering, an incredible amount of suffering. So when we start understanding how trauma works and how it's preventable, it's an epidemic. Right? People like Nadine Burke-Harris talk about trauma as a national epidemic. When we have an epidemic, we can deal with it on a public health level. We can start thinking of healthcare for all, not as some luxurious or socialist endeavor, but as a way to actually end this epidemic and actually lower the cost to our country as a whole. Then when we think about other kinds of interventions that can happen and are not happening, like at-home visits for a new mother and things like that, that can really reduce the impact of childhood trauma. So there's all or other kind of family-friendly policies, universal childcare, etc., right? You can start thinking about the world from a lens of trauma. Incredibly transformative. And you can also start looking at racism and sexism and other cultural violences, systemic violence, from a lens of trauma. And it helps, again, develop compassion and also start thinking about how do you remedy this? How do you really deeply remedy these problems?
One of the people who you interviewed on Healing Our Ghosts was Andrew Solomon, and he talks about creating meaning out of experiences, which sounds very difficult. And I think a lot of people who have gone through loss find that kind of a really tall order to ask to now find meaning out of this thing that's been very difficult. What do you take away from that quote?
Well, I think to start with, we are always creating story, around our experience, always. Most of us, especially those of us who have had chronic stress in our childhood, you know, most of us make meaning out of our experience that kind of points to our own flaws, our own shortcomings, our brokenness, right? Oh, you know, I lost my job. Once again, that proves that I'm not good enough. I'm not valuable. I'm a mess up, right? I can't lose weight and I'm exhausted. That's just because I'm a loser, you know, like other people, someone else would deal with this so much better. So we're constantly making story out of our experience. We're filtering and giving it, a flavor, a texture constantly. I think what Andrew Solomon is saying is that since you're doing that, since you are creating meaning out of your life anyway, why don't you start creating meaning that is actually conducive to well-being? So there is a lot of really great stories and academic literature around how people, families that have familial narratives of that are very positive, you know, like your grandparents and your parents telling again and again the story of coming from this country and traveling to this other country in time of war and overcoming, and then grandpa becoming the first person to do this and that and the other, and how, you know, these stories of just resilience and empowerment and capacity, that becomes the family story, and yours end up fitting into this, right? And you reenact that story over and over again. So stories are powerful, and we have inner stories and we have cultural stories and then we have familial stories. Once you become aware of the story, then you also have a power to shape it. And so for Andrew Solomon, that means looking at your struggle and saying, you know, what has been the silver lining? What has been the opportunity coming out of it? And also, what can I focus on that's going to give meaning and a positive twist to what's happened to me? So, you know, I had a very hard year. Most of us have had a hard year. You know, I've gone through a divorce this past year. I had COVID. My kids have, you know, I had to deal with a lot of changes, and there's more to it that I won't share, but there's been a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, one of the things that I've chosen to focus on is that I've stayed centered. You know, it's not like I didn't cry a lot. I cried a lot, but I've also managed to stay really centered through it. And so a lot of the narrative that I've built around that is that I'm really resilient. You know, like I've been patting my back and saying, you know, if you were concerned that you might break, you know, under stress, or if you were concerned that you weren't strong enough, I think now you have the evidence that you're quite resilient, Anna. You know, congrats. You know, that is a good base for you to move forward, knowing that you have a strong core, right? So like I've created meaning out of that, but also I've also kind of talked to myself a lot about how these past couple years, and especially the dissolution of my marriage, has shined light in like a core place that I need to heal, a core place that has not been dealt with despite my many, many, many years of therapy. And that is, for me, it's like a difficulty around attachment, you know, what some people might call attachment trauma. And shining light on that and the whole the suffering around the dissolution of a marriage has led me to be really motivated to say, this is what I'm going to do this year. I don't need to be productive. I don't need to, you know, provide this and this and this for other or prove my worth anymore. What I'm going to do is really, really go and try to see if I can focus on that and start changing it a little bit, right? So suffering sometimes can just really like give you like a laser, what is the expression? Like laser sharp direction on what you want to accomplish, what you want to do, what you need to do. Where are your breaking points? Where is your biggest need for healing? Right? It just kind of opens up your eyes to, again, it helps you reprioritize. So when you talk about creating meaning, story, it's just storytelling, is what you choose to focus on, how you can integrate that into your life story, which is why understanding trauma helps you create a new narrative about your life. And maybe some of that narrative can really give you meaning. Oh, I am this way because of that, and that will allow me moving forward to do this and that. You're just writing your life story. And if you're a good writer, you know, maybe you can put some, you know, some twist that makes you into a hero of your journey versus the victim. Being the victim of your journey is just not fun after a little while, right? As a child, it might be your survival mechanism to experience yourself that way. But as an adult, being a victim is and powerless, it's just not very beneficial. So if you are able to transform yourself from the victim of your circumstances, which might be very well true, by the way, you might be actually a victim, but you can turn yourself into a hero of your own journey. And this is, I think this is to me what Andrew Solomon talks about. How do you turn yourself into the hero of your own journey?
I think that'll resonate with a lot of people. To make sure that our listeners know where to find your work, to look at your film, wrestlingghosts.com.
Yes, wrestlingghostsplural.com.
That was wrestlingghosts.com. This is Anna Joannis, filmmaker, podcaster, curriculum creator, talking with Sina Vazila Hickey for Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Thank you.
Great talking to you, Sina. Thanks for having me.
You too.